Governments around the world grappling with this coronavirus outbreak are trying to figure out how and when they'll reopen their economies. President Trump famously tweeted last month, "We cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself." But what would reopening stores and schools too soon actually mean for the economy? Derek Thompson has been writing about this. He's senior editor at The Atlantic, and he joins us from Washington as he does each Monday. Derek, welcome back.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Yes. So the title of your article is The Four Rules of Pandemic Economics. And your first rule is that the idea of either saving the economy or saving lives is a false choice. What do you mean?
I mean that in the short term, when you have a pandemic raging, it does no good to allow people to go to restaurants and go to movies and go to concerts because they're just going to get extremely sick and have to stay home from work anyway. So indeed, it makes sense to say, look, saving the economy versus saving lives doesn't make a lot of sense because the economy is made up of living people. So what we should want to do is root out the pandemic itself, save as many people as possible, create a short and sharp recession, and then hope that we can quickly put everything back online really quickly. One metaphor that's sometimes been used is that this is a little bit like a medically induced coma. The purpose is to solve the problem the patient is facing by putting them under, fixing the problem, and then putting them back into consciousness. That's what we're trying to do right now. We're trying to deep freeze the economy with the hope of thawing it very soon thereafter.
Okay, which brings us to number two, pay people a living wage to stop working. What do economists say about whether the U.S. is doing enough to pay people to stop working?
Yeah, this is another rule that just totally flies in the face of historical macroeconomics. Typically, you would always want to make sure that everybody who wants to work can work and they're paid a living wage to do so. But in a pandemic, that logic is turned on its head. What you want people to do is to social distance. And that means that if they work at concert halls or at restaurants or at churches, they should not come into work, but they also shouldn't starve. So we should pay them a living wage to stop working. We should find ways to keep them and their families healthy, even though they can't come into work. The way the U.S. has done this essentially is it's a few ways. We've made an agreement to send most households a one-time payment of about $1,200 per adult plus $500 per child. We've also beefed up unemployment benefits. I think these are both fine ideas, but it's important to note that other countries have taken a different stance. Denmark and other Northern European nations have essentially said, we're going to pay businesses to maintain their payrolls to avoid the sort of mass layoffs that we're already beginning to see in the U.S. Again, this fits with the earlier metaphor of just freezing the economy. Let's get everybody who's employed with their current employer or boss, just stay at that company. We'll pay you to do nothing for a few months. And then hopefully in the summer, we can bring the whole thing back online without having to lose millions, maybe even tens of millions of people in the U.S. to unemployment.
Yeah, you have another rule that really speaks to businesses and their plight right now. That comes from economist Justin Wolfers at the University of Michigan, who told you that you have to build companies a time machine. What does that mean?
Right. So he's not talking about the H.G. Wells contraption. He's talking about a time machine made out of money. So he put it to me this way. His local burrito shop, which used to be a thriving business, it could go belly up any day now. But in a post-pandemic world, it's going to be a thriving business again. So what that burrito business needs is really what every small and medium-sized business needs right now, actually including large businesses. They need a time machine that can move their expenses from the present day to the future. And in the U.S. economic rescue package, that time machine looks like about $350 billion in low-interest loans that the government's going to give out to small and medium-sized businesses and maybe even forgive those loans if those businesses maintain their payrolls. I think it's a good idea. I just think it's probably a little too small and a little too late. If we want to pay all the small and medium-sized businesses in the U.S. enough money to maintain their payrolls, that figure shouldn't be $350 billion. It should be closer to $600 or $700 billion.
You also say in rule number four, the business of America is now science. Can you explain that?
Sure. To summarize everything that I just said, we need to get people money or they're going to die. and we need to get companies cash or they're going to die. But if we don't clear the way for healthcare workers to treat the sick, if we don't find a way to test and trace illnesses, we don't find a way to build antiviral medications or a vaccine, if we don't fix the science problem, people and companies are going to die anyway. There's just no such thing as a normal economy until we can contain this virus. And we have to do so as soon as possible, because that means that all these rules that I've just told you about that throw economics on its head, all these pandemic economy rules, we can finally leave them in this brief period of the pandemic and move on into a post-pandemic world.
That's Derek Thompson. He's senior editor at The Atlantic. He wrote The 4 Rules of Pandemic Economics. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.